The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
We're talking about in one day the world changed. How many of you would say right now, if you were to be honest, and you don't have to lift your hands, this is I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but how many of you would say that in the past couple years, I've been through some storms. I've been through some valleys. I've been through some tests. I've been through some trials. How many of you would say that in the past couple years, you've been pushed and stretched to the limit? Right? Where would you be without Jesus? Where would we be without Jesus? Well, I'll tell you where most of us would be. Most of us would be locked up in our own thoughts and our own minds, and we'd be getting ready to implode or explode. And that's why you see such violence in the world, because we do not have a release. We do not have hope outside of ourselves. And then we realize how helpless we really are in and of ourselves. We really are. Think about it. We need each other in the body of Christ, right? That's why it was really important that the writer of Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, even much more so as you see the day approaching. Well, what day is that? That's the great and terrible day of the Lord. You know, and I'm telling you, while there are redeemed who are going to be glad to see Him, it's also going to be fearful for us. A lot of people said, I'm going to run right up there and I'm just going to shake Jesus' hand. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're thinking the baby in the manger. We got a couple of little babies in here this morning, one baby and several toddlers this morning. And it's kind of fun to watch with them and watch them get them going. And they get, you know, they're easy to handle. But you look over into Revelation, you see the vision that John saw of Jesus. That's not the kind you run up to and just shake his hand or stroke him on the forehead and say, you know, ga 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 goo goo. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Eyes that burn like fire. That's the Jesus that's coming back. And I think a lot of people may or may not know that, or they... Have you ever had a thought that you push to the back of your mind? I've got a dentist appointment coming up. I'm pushing that to the back of my mind because I don't like the drill. You know, the dentist is kind of cool, but I don't like the drill. And I don't like the smell of that, because why do they have to drill so close to your nose? I mean, they give you that little thing that puts in there, and if you don't get it out in time, it'll turn your cheek inside out. Why don't they put something like right here, you know? Teeth stink. All right, bones stink too. Annoying. But are we pushing something to the back of our mind in the hope that something better comes along? Now, if you're not, you got two problems. Either you're lying or you're getting ready to go home. The Lord's getting ready to call you home. Because when my dad was ready to go, and we and some people thought that he was going to go before my mom, I'm ready to go, and he would tell me, son, I don't know why the Lord's leaving me here. Well, you got somebody else to talk to. You got somebody else to encourage. You got a job to do. Amen? And if you're here this morning... If God woke you up this morning, then you've got a job to do. Amen. All right? Now, being a Christian does not negate us from going through trials and temptation. We're not isolated from that. We go through trials and temptation all the time. But there's only one name on earth given to men whereby we must be saved under heaven, and that is the name of Jesus. Nobody else? Jesus. Not JC? Jesus. Not Pastor? Jesus. Not Elder Luke? Jesus. I can't save you. Neither can anyone, any other human being. Only Jesus can save. And not only can he save you, your mortal soul, well, we're going to find out what else he can save us from. So, if you're wanting peace in the midst of the storm, if every time you look at the news and something else bad is coming down the way, if you've saturated yourself with the bad, thinking that you can change it, stop, you're wrong. You cannot change the outcome. It was written before any of us were born. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And let me just tell you, he's everything in between too. He said, of his word, not one jot or tittle would pass away. It would all be fulfilled. You want to know what's happening? You want to know what's coming on? You want to know where we are? It's right there. It's in there. It's in the Word. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Go ahead and give me that first slide. Let's get into our verse for this year. Boy, has this made a difference. Has this made a difference in 2022 for you? Well, praise God. It's made a difference for me. You don't have to amen that if you don't want to. I'm not going to buy amens. If the word of God is not good, don't amen it. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't go seeking the little striped fish before church. Don't be on the golf course. Don't be bowling. Don't be doing whatever you're doing. Don't be doing what you're making an idol of, that you're missing being in the house of the Lord. We've been reading in our daily fire devotion, and God was pretty stringent on the Israelites coming out of bondage. He had a pretty rigorous course that they had to follow, and they didn't like it. Why don't we follow what God says? It's better to obey than sacrifice, isn't it? Then why don't we obey what the Lord says? Because we've set up a God in our own image. And I like to do what I like to do. You know, it's pretty simple. I won't point out anybody, but there's a little one in here under a year old, and she likes to do what she likes to do. And if you don't like let her do what she wants to do, it's like, ah! And I'm telling you, she's got a set of lungs on her. And I've been trying to coax her to say pawpaw. Yeah, I told her sister, I said, when she comes back down again and yell night again, if you get her saying pawpaw, we'll go to Dairy Queen and pawpaw will treat you right now. And she likes that ice cream with them bananas in it. Y'all know what that is? With chocolate and fruit and cherries on top. And that's a four-year-old that knows what she likes. You know, I'm trying to teach that to her to do her future husband, a favor. So when he says, where do you want to go to eat, honey? She'll say, I want the ice cream with the bananas and the cherry on top. I don't know that. That's the biggest decision. It almost takes an act of Congress to get people to say, well, hey, where do you want to go eat? You know, let me put you guys wise. I've done this before, so if you've heard it, just ignore it. But let me put you wise. You want to know how to get around that blockade in your life? Simple. Do it like this. Get in the car, be driving, say, honey, bet you can't guess where we're going to dinner tonight. And she'll go, no, you mean Essen House? Bingo, we're there. How did you know? Guys, there you go. You got to get careful because you'll learn something at church if you ain't careful. So, all right. So, anyway, that's a way around that blockade, all right? So we got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I got a confession to make. I spent so many of my life not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, I was righteous, and I'd go to church, and I'd read my Bible occasionally. If IU wasn't playing or the Colts weren't on or something like that, I'd read my Bible. The Reds weren't playing. But the closer we get to the end, the closer, and we are in the end time, the closer we get to the end, the more we better be seeking after the one who came seeking for us. Let that sink in for a little bit. You see, initially, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came seeking me. And now it's our turn to seek him. Amen? And all these things shall be added to you. All right. Let's go ahead and give me the other scripture. So today, if I were to title this, it would be how to have peace in the midst or the middle of the storm. Because storms are going to come. Just know they're going to come. How do you handle the storms in your life? How do you handle the tests that you didn't prepare for? What happens when your teacher says, hey, your homework's due and you don't have it done? How do you handle those things in life? How do you handle that? That doctor says, well, I think we ought to run some more tests to be sure. How do you handle that? Well, we're not sure. This shortage that's going on, it may cost jobs. How do you handle that? How do you get through that? There are some serious storms that we're facing, are they not? How do you handle wars and rumors of wars? Jesus said they'll always be with you. But the end isn't yet, right? All right. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And I'm going to be reading out the New King James all the way through today, so you don't have any of those verses that you're like, eh, where's he at, Martha? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Now, Jesus had done come through the countryside, and he was healing everybody, and he was taking care of things. You know, we pick these stories up in the middle, and people are like, wow, I'd like to know the context. Well, it's in Mark chapter 4, 1 to 34, so you can go back and get that today, right? Because I hopefully leave an appetite for the word in you, in your spirit today. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, as he was. And other little boats also went with him. Verse number 37, something we can relate to here in northern Indiana, at least from last night and today. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. Now, it's important to know that they're beating into the boat. A lot of times when you want to go fast, the waves are beating on the outside of the boat, and you're like, whoo, faster, 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 right? But these waves are not just beating, crashing on the outside of the boat. They're beating on the inside. Now, boats are wonderful as long as the water's on the outside. And Brother Dave, if you're watching, there's been a couple of times. We were too anxious to catch crappie, too anxious to catch bluegill. And we backed the boat down, got the motor started, pulled the trailer up into the parking lot. And we get going and we're riding lower and lower and lower in the water. And I look at him and he looked at me, did you put the plug in? I would like to say that was only once, but it was. And even with a lady present in this sanctuary, we had to jump out and put the plug in. So, and it began to beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Filling. Remember, the objective of a boat is to keep the water out, not in. That's placement. It displaces water. It doesn't contain water. Oh, it'll hold it really good. But that's not the purpose of a boat. And they don't have doors, screen doors on submarines for that very reason. All right? So, okay. It was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Isn't it amazing they took Jesus as he was? That means that he didn't put on, you know, four life vests and he didn't put on a flak jacket. He just got up in however he was preaching, however he was doing. They took him as he was and he just went to sleep. And they awoke him and said to him, this says teacher, but I want to use the King James for a minute. Master, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, these are men who had been around boats their whole entire life. This wasn't a leak that you could take a piece of gum and stick in. This wasn't a leak that you could take a stopper and stick in. The boat was filling, the wind was beating, and Jesus is asleep. And they looked at him and they said, Master, don't you care? I was thinking about this week. I was thinking about this message. You know, we don't just wake up on Sunday morning and do these messages. I hope you realize that. I mean, I hope you don't think we do that. But I was thinking about this week, and there have been a lot of people over the past couple of years, and they're thinking, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Look, we got a pandemic. Look, we got a war going on. Look, we've got inflation out. Look at gases. They're telling Americans to be prepared to pay over $5 a gallon for gas because of that nut in the White House wanting to go green.
Come on. Yeah.
It'd be one thing to go green if we were prepared to go green. That's like saying, I'm not going to breathe any more air till they come up with a better mixture. Well, hello, what are you going to substitute oxygen for? And nitrogen and hydrogen, whatever we're breathing, the chemical. Well, I'm not going to breathe air until they come up with another mixture. Well, lots of luck with that, you know. We're just going to cut off all of our dependence on oil. That sounds like a good plan. How about in the next millennium we work on that? Get there? I mean, seriously, what you going to charge the electric car with? You know, there are no spontaneous combustion generators, right? You could get that, right? They're coal-fired, they're oil-fired. There are no spontaneous combustion. Probably I'll get off that. People think I'm preaching politics. I'm just preaching common sense. Which is not a flower that grows in everybody's garden. Amen. Is that all right?
Come on, that's right.
I mean, you want to hear the truth when you come to the house of God, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus could say, look at somebody said, Herod wants to kill you, and Jesus could say, hey, you go tell that fox. You think Jesus was just a lot of people mix up meek with weak, and you know, and they mix him up as he just took whatever was, you know, being dished out. He said, no, you go tell that fox. You look up the vernacular of the Koine Greek and what that means. That's not a good term. It's not a good term. As a matter of fact, you can't be a prophet if you're afraid to withstand the king. We're going somewhere today. I hope you stay with me. If you don't, that's fine. You know, I'll send back my paycheck for this week if I offend you. Matter of fact, I offend you too much, I'll send you mine and pastor's paycheck. We'll send them both back. Hope you all don't mind me, you know, putting you out there on a limb like that. Matter of fact, I'll go one better. I'll do that as seen on TV thing. I'll give you double my paycheck back this week. All right, how's that sound? Double your money back. All right. And they were, don't you care that we're perishing? How many of you have thought that in the going through this thing when they made you put on the, when they made you put on the mask just to see who they could control. By the way, I shared with the group the CDC records, the new CDC things about COVID. You're gonna be mad if you when you read them. I wore a mask for that. I wore a mask for that. I mean, more people died of common cold. All right, I got to get off that box. Don't you care? How many of us have asked the Lord, some maybe recently, Lord, don't you care that we're dying here? We're perishing here? And it's amazing how many people really weren't dying that thought they were. I better preach to these people because I know they're not going to get offended. Lord, don't you care? I'm not asking again, not asking for a show of hands, but they've been some of us that said, Lord, what's going on? Don't you even care? You see, either we don't know the Lord we call Lord, or we don't know Him in that way. You see, you can't keep Him as a baby in a manger who loves everyone and doesn't cry. And even though Mary's had a long labor, a long journey, and some little kid brings in a drum and wants to play it, he just looks at her. And I tell you what, they'd have brought that into the labor room and the delivery room when after Vanessa had her babies. She said, get that thing and that kid out of here. Ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. If we're honest, we have asked the Lord, Lord, what's going on here? What's going on here? If we're honest. Then he arose, verse number 39, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea. He didn't say to Peter, James, and John. He didn't say to whoever was captaining the vessel, piloting the vessel. He went right to the source of the trouble, right to the source of the storm, and he rebuked it, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And it just kept right on blowing. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. I love when the storm is over. I may be weird, but I used to be a storm chaser, official storm chaser. And Vanessa made me quit when I had to strap Andy into the car seat to go chase the tornado in Atwood. From then, it was over. She said, you can chase them storms all you want as long as I'm here to watch the babies. Well, we work different shifts. How are you going to be here to watch the babies? I don't want to take off work to do it. And I love when the storm is over and you're outside and you can hear the storm heading away. Isn't that awesome? There's a place where we go when we go camping up in Michigan on the West Coast. There's a place where we go that you can hear the storm starting up around Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And you can hear them for 2 or 3 hours across the lake. It is beautiful until the realization hits that you've been listening to this thing for 2 hours and it's going to be on you in 10 minutes. But when the storm is over, there was a great calm. And I love what happens. In verse number 40, Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? Okay, let's give him the list. We've got our list, don't we? Why are you so fearful? Well, it was windy. We're taking on water. It's dark. What on earth? This lake is littered with boats like this on the bottom. Jesus said, He said, why were you so fearful? Well, Lord, there's a virus. Lord, there's a shortage. Lord, we got to do this, and they're going to make us do this, and they're going to make us do that. And we've got, right? Isn't it amazing when you pull the Bible out from 2,000 years ago and bring it into the here and now, it's still as relevant as it was when Jesus spoke these words. Isn't that, I mean, that just amazes me. So if the Bible is still as relevant as it was when it was penned, maybe it's still as powerful. Oh, I ain't got time to go there. Maybe it's still as powerful for those who will read it, receive it, and just say, Lord, I recall when you stood out on the boat. They had to wake you up. Now, I got news for you. In the past 2,050 years, Jesus ain't took the first nap. Back then he was in human form. He got tired. I'm planning on today. We've had the girls all weekend. I'm planning on today. I've got an easy boy recliner with my moccasins. I'm planning today that I'm going to catch a few Z's before we come back in and start talking about the spiritual gifts and callings tonight. But I'm planning today. I'm going to catch me a snooze. Jesus hasn't taken a snooze in almost 2,100 years. You know why? Because he's too busy helping me. He's too busy helping you. He's too busy making a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. He's too busy. He was too busy 14 years ago down at the IU Simon Cancer Center when they thought that we were not, that two went in and one's coming out. You know, kind of like Mad Max. But no, one of us was in the waiting room. It would only be 45 minutes. And then 4 hours later, a nurse comes through in the waiting room. And I'm the only one there. The janitor was sweet. Oh, wait, we'll just change it up. Check one, check one. Am I here? Am I on? Do that old Baptist thing. Am I on? Just ain't going to whistle in it like some of them used to do. Break everybody's eardrums. All right. They said a 45-minute surgery. And 4 hours later, janitors were sweeping and cleaning the room, and there I am sitting by the fish aquarium. The only friend I had in the world was those fish in that tank. And they said, Mr. Sparks, we just now took her to recovery. We had to take more than we had anticipated. But he says, I've got a good 4-centimeter barrier around it. He said, I took out that much. He says, I think we've got everything. They took out her lymph nodes, if you all noticed. I she could be mad at me. She wears a bracelet because of lymphedema. They took out her sentinel lymph node and about 20 others. And I'm sitting there. And I've done, I here I am. I'm sitting there and I was praying. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever prayed until you can't pray anymore, You see, I can kind of relate to Hannah grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar. And there was a wonderful, wonderful black receptionist, African-American lady, and she kept coming down. She says, "Hun, have they called you back yet?" "No, hun, have they told, hun?" And she goes, "I'm going to go back there and check." And I tell you, she goes, "Is there anything you need?" I said, "Well, if you're a believer, would you just pray?" She said, "Hun, I've been praying this whole day." She says, "I see people come in here, and they come in here, and they're hopeful, and they walk out, and their faces have changed, and their countenances drop." She said, "I've been praying all day." And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Thank God for someone who knows how to see people when they're coming in, and they're coming in dejected, and some of them are going to leave, and they're going to leave uplifted, but some of them are going to leave, and some of them are going to leave alone and weeping." And I watched, and I observed that. And here I, a pastor, sat in that situation. Saw that going on and needed someone in my life at that moment. Because that clownfish just wasn't getting it done. But thank God for a sister who didn't even know my name, was praying for me. Not only me, but everybody that went through past her desk on her shift. He said to them, "Why were you so fearful?" We went back in, and the doctor just had a minute. It just had a minute. I mean, 4 hours, it's supposed to be 45 minutes. He just had a minute. He says, I think I got it all. You know, that wasn't very hopeful. But you got to grab what you can grab. And I said, "I believe you did." And then they whisk her away, and I went to another waiting room on the, and that's a big hospital. I went to another waiting room, you know, on the south side, Indy. Well, they're right in the middle, so north and south is kind of like right in the middle of them. But I went to another waiting room, and I waited and I waited and I waited, and the nurses were coming in, and they say, "Who are you?" I said, "I don't know. I'm waiting on her." "Well, they sent me to this room." "Well, she's not going to be here for a while. Fixing her up." I said, "She's in recovery. What's to be fixed?" You know? But they finally brought her up. And there in the basement of a hospital, things got real. Things got real between me and my God. You see, when you're in a crisis and you can see no way out and you can see no way up, when the only way, the Apostle Paul said, as long as he could look up, he was in a cell and he knew the breadth and the width and the depth of that condition. But the only, he said, as long as I can look up, as long as I have Jesus. And like I said, November will make 15 years, every time we go back, cancer-free. Amen. Cancer-free. Has the Lord done anything like that in your lives? I'm sure He has. He's no respecter of persons. Now, you know the difference, and I'm not bragging. Please don't think I'm bragging when I say this. But you know the difference between me and a lot of people? The promises that I made, if He would give me my wife back, I've kept. The promises that I made, I kept. Not to Vanessa, although I finally was able to keep that one, but to the Lord. Lord, if You give her back. I offered my life for hers. He didn't want that. He didn't want to take my life. He wanted to use my life. He wanted me to tell you that Jesus loves you and that He gave His life for you and that He's been watching every storm that you've been through, and he's just waiting for you to say, "Master, don't you care that I'm perishing?" Because He cares for you. We're commanded to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Nobody can care for us like Jesus does. Not mom, not dad. And even though my brother thinks so, I was mom's favorite. I know he thinks different, but How is it that you have no faith? You see, it's easy when we look with these natural eyes. It's easy for us to see the storm, isn't it? The storm that's raging in front of us. It may be a sickness. It may be finances. It may be a bill. We may be facing homelessness. We may be facing whatever. It's easy to focus on the storm. But let me encourage you. If you've got Jesus in your heart, there's one in your boat that you need to stir up and say, Master, don't you care that we're about to perish here? Lord, I'm going down. And I don't know that I'll ever get up. Lord, I'm hitting bottom here. Matter of fact, I was below bottom, if it's possible. They stick you in the basement for a reason. He said, how is it that you have no faith? And they looked around in verse number 41. They looked and feared exceedingly. Or they were terrified. They weren't just, you know, feared exceedingly is a nice way to tame it down, right? They were terrified. They were awestruck that this one that they had called Master spoke to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him. It says that they were terrified and said to one another, who can this be? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? There are reports from the Russian camp that their missiles are being struck by lightning. They're seeing all kinds of terrible flashes and they're like, what is this? Yet the Ukrainian pastors are praying. And they've seen Russians get out of their tanks and say, we can't do this. You're civilians. We can't. And they're walking back to the border, leaving tanks there. That even the wind and the sea, the elements obey him. They've got videos of bright lights and nobody knows what it is. But I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the sea. Amen. And there's nothing impossible for our God today. If you want to know how to have peace in the midst of your storm, instead of facing the storm, face the Master. Call on Him today because He's still in the saving, healing, and delivering business. He is still the way maker. He's still the chain breaker. And He's still the one who will establish your foot on the rock, which is Christ Jesus. Amen? How's that for an introduction? All right? I've still got 50 minutes. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You see, it's not enough just to say, well, I go to church. It's not enough just to say, well, I believe. And we have rode this horse. Matter of fact, we've been riding this horse for so long that we've reshoed him 3 times. We've had to get the farrier out here to grind off some of the hoof. Reshoot him again. But even the devil believes, and he ain't going to heaven. That means there's got to be something more. Right? The demons believe, and at the name of Jesus, they tremble. So there's got to be something more. Because there ain't going to be no devils in heaven. So what is it? What is it then? That means there has to be something more than just believing. You see, I can say, I believe in leprechauns. You know, we got St. Patrick's Day coming up here before too long. I don't necessarily participate in St. Patrick's Day. I will wear a little bit of green because I don't want to get pinched. Because there's way too much of me to pinch. Just throwing that out there. You know, I'll have green on just as a pinch, you know, deterrent. You know. But I could say I believe in leprechauns, and that doesn't make them so. I can wear green for, I can say kiss me, I'm Irish, and partly so, a quarter or so, whatever it is. It doesn't. There's a difference in believing in the Lord. Amen. So to believe in the Lord is to believe like one puts on a life jacket if you're in a boat that's sinking, or puts on a parachute if you're in a boat or a plane that's getting ready to go down. The pilot gets on and says,
"We've lost number one and number four engines. We can still fly on number three, but."
Now, why is it? Now, this is kind of, you know, if you've been on a plane, you heard that announcement. You know, why is it that when you get on, the stewardess says that your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device? Anybody ever heard that one? You're flying over water, you know, your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device. You ever tried to get it loose? They don't tell you how to get them things loose. And let me just tell you, the last thing you're going to be thinking about when the lights go out and the water's coming up and the guppies is looking in your window, where's that flotation device? Because the mask has already fallen down and hit you in the head. These are the thoughts that we think logically like this, and you know, pray for Vanessa. I feel like that. But the guy said, How far do you think we can get on one engine? And he said, all the way to the scene of the crash. And so All right. I gotta get back. We're preaching here, so I got to quit. A lot of people now are thinking about the end of time. Okay? So I've just told you how to have peace in all situations, right? But a lot of people are saying, man, this is the end of time. It's coming. Might want to avail yourself to the end time class, because there's some stuff right in front of us. That's about to happen. Matthew chapter 24, and I'm not gonna belabor this. We've had a really good teaching on this. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse number 3, if you'll turn there with me. Are you with me? Okay. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will all these things be, and what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Now, Jesus didn't hide this from them, and he won't hide it from you either. He put it in his gospel, and if you've got a red letter edition, what we're getting ready to read is in red. That means they're the words of Christ, right? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many." And I know that right now there's one in the Far East somewhere that has a following of like 10,000-12,000 people. There's one in Florida that has a following, and they are all both claiming to be the Christ. And they've got a big, huge following. The one I think is somewhere around Miami. And they said they will deceive many. Verse number 6, if you don't already have it highlighted, I remember I'm a child of the 60s, and I remember my grandpa talking about, we had just come out, they had lived through World War II, we had just come to the end of the Korean conflict, the police action that really wasn't a war, and now we were helping out our friends in Indonesia and Indochina because the French started something that they couldn't finish, and they bailed and left us with Vietnam. Truth. And people back then were talking about wars and rumors of wars. I grew up as a child of the 60s and 70s, and I still recall the Cold War, and I still recall not just tornado drills, not just fire drills, but nuclear drills. Get on your knees under your desk. Don't, you know, and some guy thought that he was the, you know, teacher's pet and got to pull down the shades, but don't look at the light. The first thing that happens in a nuclear fission or a nuclear reaction is a flash of light, wherein is radiation. And so the teacher's pet was pulling down the shades. But don't look, because you don't want to see what's happening if you do. All right, anyway. We had to go through nuclear tests, preparedness. They were fully expected. I grew up within 15 miles of Grissom Air Force Base, a SAC base, Strategic Air Command, refueling wing, air support. We just knew. We just knew that Khrushchev was going to take that place out. Then Vietnam, we tucked our tails between our legs and pushed all of our armament out off of the helicopters. They left them in Saigon and left them and pushed them off into the sea. That was one of Pastor Burkhart's. He couldn't stand that. He hated that because he said we lost because we ran. And we were that close to taking over. What a different world it would have been. God knows. Fast forward to 2021, and we've left. We had a president that pulled out of Afghanistan, got the military out, but left the civilians behind, and almost $1 billion worth of armament. Now here's the thing: why people are saying, well, why isn't America going in and fighting Russia? Why aren't they helping? Why aren't they helping? Because they left all of the friend or foe, the FOF codes, in those armaments that they left there, and we are sitting ducks. All they got to do is program the MiG-29s to the FOF, and our people are going to be... They said, well, they reprogrammed them. They got the list. We are sitting ducks. Anybody that's ever been in the military can tell you what an FOF is. And they've got all the codes. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. I'll be 60 years old this year, and for a brief span of 4 years, we didn't hear of wars or rumors of wars. I don't want to be banned, so I won't say Trump's name. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But Jesus said it, but the end is not yet. Not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Pretty much half the world is in a famine. The other half is teetering. Pestilence or plagues. Even if we have to create them ourselves in a lab in Wuhan. Earthquakes in various places. Like Indiana. Indiana had an earthquake not too long ago. Some people felt it. Some people didn't. Some people thought their tires needed aligned. Some people thought it would, you know, it was in the winter, so some people thought, yeah, it's just the chuck holes, you know. I don't know. More earthquakes have happened in the last 5 to 6 years than have happened in the last 50 years. They're getting more frequent. And they're not just out in the San Andreas Fault region. Jesus again says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. He said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Not great tribulation. There are people that were being asked, if you see your neighbor, without a mask, turn them in. We got a special place for them. We're going to treat them well. Like they said to the Japanese in World War II, internment camps. And will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Every nation in the world turned its back on Israel under the Obama administration. And Obama did not stand for them. Remember what Nancy Reagan said? If you don't say no, it's the same as saying yes. Remember that? And he didn't say no. He could have, but he didn't. Again, right after that, there was a 4-year reprieve. Then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Truth? Anybody seeing that? Offended about this, offended about that, offended about the other thing, offended about, our church is shutting down. Well, we went down to the 10 people for a while and said, hey, you know what? This ain't working. This is where people need to be, in the house of the Lord. And it's amazing how when the truth comes out, the truth is always stranger than the fiction, because they were just pushing an agenda and got people to miss out on the glory of God. Many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. I still, it's amazing to me, in my own mind, I have trouble figuring out how people can follow after a doctrine that is categorically false, right? Is that part of maybe gagging at a gnat and swallowing a camel? Categorically false, yet they will follow hard after it. There's several that I can mention that I'm not going to get time to get into that. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because lawlessness will abound. Don't look at the local news, because if they're not toting the party line, the next thing you're going to see is shootings and killings, and on a local level, you're going to see all kinds of violence on the local level. I mean, I'm almost afraid to, you know, have on the local radio station in the shop because of all the stuff going on, because lawlessness is abounding. The love of many will grow cold. And 13, this is a weird statement. It seems out of place. It just seems kind of crazy. Because he who endures to the end shall be saved. That flies in the face of some of what we've been taught, doesn't it? Just hang on. But he said, you've got to endure to the end and you'll be saved. Now, when's the end coming? Remember, that was a question that they asked. And Jesus is describing all of this stuff that's going to go on that we are witnessing. We're witnessing. We're hearing what's going on. But the end is not yet. So what? When's he going to get around to answer? You ever have anybody ask a question, and I've got someone very dear to me, and when you ask them what time it is, they tell you how to build the watch. Now this one's a, now look at this. This is a Rolex. It's got Swiss movement in it. It's got this, that. It's got 27 jewels, platinum case. What time is it? It seems like Jesus is on a one of those deals. He's building the watch, doesn't he? But he did all that, and he gave all of that to say this, number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So I thought, well, I'm just going to check it out. Went over to Miss Google and said, "Hey, Miss Google, you know, I don't have Siri. I'm not one of those. I'm not privileged to have an iPhone or anything like that." So I went over to Miss Google. I could probably call her something else. I think they got a name for her, Cortiana or something like that. You know, give me names I can say. You know, anyway. So I went over to Miss Google and I went to the Wycliffe Bible Society. Anybody ever heard of the Wycliffe Bible Society? They are translators. They're translating the Bible, the gospel, this gospel, into all the nations of the world. There are 196 nations currently. 196 nations. There are 147 translations of the Bible into indigenous languages. That means that there are only 44 or so. I've got it wrote down. I can't read my writing. 196 minus 100. So there are 40-some left. But wait, it gets better. Of those 40-some that are remaining to have the gospel preached to them, about half are fluent in two languages, and they have a copy of the scripture in a language they can understand. You know, like in Jesus' day, when you could speak Hebrew or Greek. So whether they had the Greek or the Hebrew, they could understand. So we cut it down to under 30. And with everybody having the ability to put a Bible on their phone, it won't be long. One of the reasons that we say we are in the last days. Jesus is about ready to come. Because that's Jesus' words, right? I don't need to go to no seminary. I don't need to go to, Jesus said it. It's been translated into a language I can understand, a language that I can read, a language that I can, you know, get into my computer. And he said, and this gospel, not another gospel, not a false gospel. No matter how many people run after them. This gospel. This gospel. Well, what's the gospel? It's really simple. A man came to Jesus by night. I don't have this on the screen, but you can get it in John chapter 3. A man came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler, and he was afraid to come to Jesus by day for fear that the people that he knew might get offended. Oh, you're one of those. Let me tell you something. You'll know you're getting close to being in the Word and being walking close to God when somebody comes up and say, "Oh, you're one of those. Oh, you're that kind." Like there is another kind, right? You're that kind. I had a guy tell me one time when I was first called into the ministry. He says, "Oh, I hear you're a Bible thumper." And I said, I thought about that. And I was reading my Bible in the break room on break. I wasn't stealing from my employer. And I said, "Well, I hadn't tried it. Let me try that." That's not very effective. How about if I just tell you this? Jesus said you must be born again. "Well, I didn't mean literally thumping your Bible." And I said, what did you mean? Here we have the Word. Here we have the Spirit. What hinders you from being saved? I've never really thumped a Bible. That's like the first time I ever did it in a sermon. But you know, I did it in a break room one time. It still don't feel good. I don't think that's effective at all. I'm not thumping nobody with a Bible. I'm just going to tell them like Jesus said to Nicodemus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "You must be born again." And then Nicodemus, he wanted to get all logical and he wanted to get all rational. And he said, wait a minute, I'm old. He goes, how am I going to go back and be born again? Do you expect me to enter again into my mother's womb and come back out? And you know, if that had been us, you know why Jesus took that one instead of us? Because we said, man, you special, ain't you? He said, no, you got to be born of both the blood and the water and of the Spirit. There's got to be a regeneration inside you. I heard something this week that just thrilled my heart. Because my grandpa used to say it all the time. He said, you can be born once and you're going to die twice. This life will die and then your soul will be cast into hell, which is the second death. Or you can be born twice and live forever. See, you must be born again. You can be born a natural life, and you can be born again and renewed. And then you've got the promise that you will live forever. In Romans 10 and 13, it says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. So today, you've learned how to have peace in the middle of whatever storm you're going through. And that's just wake up the Master. Call Him. Get a hold of Jesus in your life. And two, you've learned how to be born again. The two elements that we need to get through this life. I'll finish the rest of this on Wednesday night. And Lord bless you. I hope that if you're watching this, that we it was a heavy subject, so we tried to go a little lighter with it. We tried to make it light, lighten it up a little bit. But Jesus loves you. He died for you. And it's only through Him that you will get to heaven. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we would like to introduce you. We would like to, if you're here today and you're living without peace, we know where peace is at. Each one of us know where peace is at right now. If you're watching on the broadcast or listening on the FM and you've lost your peace and you don't know where peace is at, let me assure you that peace can still be found in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and soon coming King. May God bless you, and we'll be back here on Wednesday night. Come visit with us, won't you? Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I hope that.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.